Whichever coffee you want, Mojo Espresso is the double shot you need. It's your caffeine-inspired shot of inspiration and perspective, made organically to help you on your journey, with the goal to win the morning and win the day. Okay, now the response from the public masterclass we ran last month on finding motivation blew us away, but it also opened our eyes to just how so many of us are struggling right now in the wake of the pandemic. So much so that we've decided to replay the entire 90-minute Finding Motivation Masterclass. So for any members who have missed it or any members who want to watch it again, between August 5 and 11, keep an eye out for the notification and the email. And if you did join us on that masterclass, you'll remember that those who are flourishing and having a greater perspective and energy post-COVID are those who have found the balance between three distinct intrinsic motivations, the three P's as we call them. And those three P's are play, purpose, and potential. But it's the first P we want to hone in on this episode of Mojo Espresso and this month's theme. Because from what we're seeing, play is arguably the most misunderstood of the three in terms of impact and importance. One of the reasons we undervalue play is the way we define it, which hasn't evolved as we've evolved. So we've forgotten how it shaped our identity and an understanding of the world. Back then, play was this weird and wonderful language that we all spoke fluently and where we had the permission to practice it daily. And it made way for this continuous learning and this creativity and fun and growth. But somewhere in the process of growing up, we got all serious and we got pimples and we thought we had to fit in rather than belong. And play got lost in the translation, so to speak. So just like learning any language, if we're not using it regularly, we lose it, yeah? We use it or lose it. Or they say in their Italian, ogni lasciata è persa. Or in Balinese, gunala atal hilangla, use it or lose it. And then life becomes way too serious and way too stressful. Unfortunately, we've also carried forward limited ideas of play from childhoods. And this interpretation, whether it's playing sports or board games or pranks or toys or playgrounds, now makes play feel kind of irrelevant or at best a guilty pleasure. But our definitions need to evolve with us as we evolve. This old-fashioned Oxford Dictionary-esque definition of play is to do things for pleasure, just as children do, yeah, or to enjoy yourself rather than work. But this definition is fundamentally flawed because we actually need to be more playful at work. It's not one or the other. So it's more about cultivating a playful spirit, yeah, an openness or willingness to be creative and just try new things, to have this sense of, I don't know, curiosity and childlike wonder, or just dialing up our sense of humor and laughing more just so we lighten up rather than tighten up. Now, for anyone interested in body image or anti-aging, can you just write down now in your notes or tattoo on your soul, be playful. Because playfulness for us is arguably the world's best, all-natural, science-approved anti-aging drug. Yeah, I kid you not. And now for a short break while I make myself a coffee. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, gee, I wish my team at work knew about these principles, head to the Mojo Crow website to explore our Mojo for Work program. Now, where was I? Okay, so firstly, how do we define play? The reason it's so hard is even the experts resist one absolute definition of play, mainly because it's so varied or so individual or just so primal. Yeah, just watch puppies or kittens wrestle and you'll witness this primal, unconscious instinct of play. One of the world's great experts on play, Dr. Stuart Brown, sees play as a thing of beauty best appreciated by experiencing it more so than defining it. He says it's like a good joke. Once you analyze it, it's not actually that funny, which makes perfect sense on one level, but makes it pretty hard for the rest of us trying to understand how to apply it to our lives. If we were to try and define play at Mojo, it would be being fully present, curious, joyful, and vulnerable in the process of doing something. Now that something might be just getting lost in the pure joy of play for play's sake, where there's no purpose, just freedom. Yeah. And while we lose all sense of time in this purposelessness, sometimes we actually have epiphanies, these problem-solving epiphanies, while we play. So it starts out without a purpose, but it actually finishes with some kind of miracle breakthrough. But play is not only anti-aging, it's also anti-serious. When it comes to play, often the excuses we hear is, I'm too busy, I don't have time to play, or I'm worried people will think I'm slacking off, or I want to be taken more seriously. And in a world focused more on worrying about being busy or being serious, yeah, play might be considered a waste of time, right? But get this, there's not a shred of evidence in favor of the idea that life is serious. So WTF, if you want more motivation and positive energy in your life right now, I promise you bringing more play into your life will help get you there. Now, those three excuses why people aren't playing are understandable in a modern Western society, yeah, that constantly prioritizes results and expectations over outcomes. But we need only look back to the ancient Greeks to see the power of a very different value system, one that got the balance right and really celebrated the importance of being more playful. The Greeks had two of their favorite gods. One was Apollo, the god of wisdom, logic, and reason, with a strong focus on structure, rules, and logic. And the second one was Dionysus. Let's just call him Dion. In opposition to Apollo, Dionysus is your good time guy. He championed creativity and emotion, and of course, play. The Greeks didn't think that life could be complete without the combination of both these two gods. Both Apollo and Dionysus had their place, and each were capable of distraction if given way too much sway. Yeah, too much Dion, too much play, and you could expect to go off the rails, yeah? But too little Dion, too little play, and your life would be feeling quite depressed or stressful or lethargic or just lacking in motivation. Yeah, so a question to ask yourself right now is, so which god am I worshipping more at the moment? Do I have enough Dionysus in my life right now? Or are you Apollo and all Apollo and getting all serious at the same time? Now, it's important to note here the difference between meaningful play and junk play. Meaningful play is active involvement. There's an exchange between us and the other person or the other thing. And it's usually characterized by creation. But it doesn't mean necessarily making stuff, because you could be creating connection through conversation. Whereas junk play is passive consumption, yeah, like binging on Netflix or a social media doom scroll, yeah, where we zone out or become a bit numb and just let something kind of wash over us. We're not really in the driver's seat in that moment. It's just kind of happening to us. Now, before you ask, yes, you can have meaningful play watching TV or being on social media if your intention has meaning to it as well, i.e. to have a belly laugh on a Netflix show or to help someone else have a belly laugh. That's a good intention, right? So like anything in life, it always comes back to what is my intention, yeah? Now, while play is hard to define, so too is the opposite of play. But the one thing we do know, and it's a big aha for a lot of people, is that the opposite of play is not work. The opposite of play is a form of fear or languishing or sadness, and it's when our inherent need to be for playful spontaneity and variety gets lost in this overwhelming sense of seriousness and responsibility, yeah, which kind of makes sense why play is so lacking right now, because with so much stress and worry and fear and anxiety in the world right now, we seem to have lost our biologically programmed need for play. This fear we're talking about is often the fear of uncertainty or vulnerability, right? Vulnerability of the world and of ourselves at the same time. Because to play is to be vulnerable, to be open, open-minded, curious, creative, innovative, adaptive, to embrace unpredictability and to be willing to improvise, to connect and to risk looking silly, to embrace our weird, so to speak. When we resist play, it's often due to this fear of failing or making a fool of ourselves or not meeting expectations from others or ourselves, or this fear of being lazy or the fear of not being perfect. Regardless of what they are, if we can just let go of FOPO in all its costumes, this fear of other people's opinions, and focus more on our intrinsic motivations and turn play into a value where we can create these healthy play habits, we will remove those fears and take more control. And as we said earlier, it's not work or play. It's not one or the other. Work needs to be playful in order to be more innovative. Most people think of their lives as being split into two distinct parts, yeah, work and free time. But what if this distinction didn't exist? What if going to work was so enjoyable that people actually looked forward to actually being there? Yeah, my dad ran a cleaning company, right, which isn't the most aspiring or inspiring or enjoyable activity, but he brought such a larrikin spiritual flavor to his work that his cleaners couldn't help but laugh along and play through their shifts, singing at the top of their voices over their Nilfisk vacuum cleaners, right? Whistle while you work. He literally did that and sang and danced at the same time. Just look at the founder of the apparel company Spanx, Sarah Blakely, who holds regular oops meetings when she addresses a recent mistake she's made and plays music that fits that situation. For example, after Sarah failed miserably to compete in a product category for much, much longer than she should have been competing, she used self-deprecation humor and played the song Mr. Roboto, a great song but goes way too long, as did the length of the time she spent in this category. So her employees, when she played this song, laughed along and danced along to make light of the situation. We call this idea a play hack. Simple ways of turning an everyday task or challenge into something more playful. Yeah, I'll talk more about that in a sec. Here's a little break while I enjoy my coffee. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, I don't want to just listen anymore, I actually want to do some of the work, then download the Mojo Crow app and start a course. And now, back to the episode. Okay, so how do we be more playful right now? Firstly, define it and create your own play philosophy. Work out what it actually means to you. Secondly, incorporate to be playful into your to-be list words and the various roles and passions and relationships you have. While you're at it, you may also incorporate to be vulnerable as well and let go of FOPO and start to embrace your weird, as we say. And lastly, create your own mojo play hack. Yeah, as mentioned earlier, a play hack is the ways we can find simple ways of finding and turning an everyday task or challenge into something more playful. Some play hack ideas could be, firstly, a play hack at home. Yeah, it's called beat the clock. We call this beat the clock for those who hate stacking the dishwasher. Time yourself and see how long it takes. It often takes a lot less longer than you think. And just knowing that is no longer a big deal. Yeah, setting a timer can also make a task feel like a race, which turns it into a bit of a game. Or for a different play hack, make it a workout. One of my favorite athletes, Steph Gilmore, turns cleaning her apartment into a form of hot yoga workout, turning her heaters and music up full bore and then sweating it out, dancing and singing as she cleans her apartment. Now, when you're at work, the simplest play hack of all is icebreakers. Yet before everyone gets stuck into their daily grind, like huddle around and take on an icebreaker exercise in one of your meetings. Some of Mojo's simple ones is what's in a name, where you simply explain the backstory, origins, or any other context about your full name. Another play hack idea we love is where at the start of each week, the team choose a random word, I don't know, pretzel or cactus, and then see who can slip it into conversation with clients without anyone catching on. At Wimbledon in 2019, when Ash got sick of all the media asking her about pressure and expectations and being number one, she came up with a game to try and integrate a different line from her favorite Disney movies into each of her press conferences without any of the media actually catching on to what she was doing. It turned what was normally a painful obligation into an excited anticipation, with her team giggling all the way through and wondering which question she was going to subtly drop into her lines.
I mean, we kind of came into it thinking kind of like a Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata. I chat to my niece and over and over she just tells me you can go to infinity and beyond.
To infinity and beyond.
For me, sometimes I look at a shot, I play a shot, and then I think, you know, the seaweed's always greener in someone else's lake.
The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake.
Okay, now some play hacks when you're alone or with friends or with family. One idea is just a playful walk. When you're struggling to be more playful, just get active, get outside and go for a playful walk and see what happens to your imagination, remembering it's a means of travel, not necessarily a destination or a state to arrive at. Or maybe it's just a playful conversation. have the intention of how can I make this conversation a playful one and see where it takes you. Having more playful conversations rather than serious ones can be a game changer for a lot of people. It might even be just with your dog. Yeah, or just spontaneous games, creating simple games out of simple surroundings. By the way, one of my favorite documentaries on this is the Parking Lot documentary. Highly recommend it. So over the course of the next month, we'd love to hear your suggestions. Yeah, so send us your favorite ways to be more playful at work or at home or with friends or with family. And we'll send our favorite ones, one of our brand new Mojo Keep Cups that have just arrived. And finally, one of the ways people can let go of their not enoughness stories, their shame stories, which is also one of the first exercises in our Mojo Mindset course, is to find an early happy memory, the memory before the memory when we started telling ourselves we weren't good enough or loved enough. In the majority of cases, almost everyone's early happy memory was a playful memory, yeah, about to open presents on Christmas morning or going on a holiday or climbing a family tree or tinkering in the backyard or the kitchen with my parents. In almost all cases, the five emotions in these memories evoke, especially if they're playing with other people, a feeling of happy, of feeling free or carefree, of excited or adventurous, or a sense of belonging, or a sense of loved. So maybe, just maybe, one way to bring these emotions back into your life right now as an adult is to embrace play and to be playful. And the great news is you can practice it this very second. Okay, that's it for another episode of Mojo Espresso. And until next time, I will love you and leave you and see you on the other side in the soup. Bye for now.